little about birthdays around here. When I was a kid growing up, they had two little banks at the front of the church. And if you had a birthday that week, you had to come forward and put some money in the little bank jar. Anybody remember that? All right, okay. And anniversaries too, I think, okay. And we certainly do not recognize folks under 40, okay. So I thought I'd make an exception to both of those this morning. And today's Bonnie Stewart's birthday. And so happy birthday, Bonnie. God bless you. Okay? All right. And if you would like to be so recognized, either put it on Facebook or tell me before the service, okay? I don't do Facebook, but my wife does. All right. She's the one you have to blame, Bonnie, okay? All right. Andy was right, we're still in John. Jesus is still praying for us. Isn't that neat? Reassuring? Thrilling, in fact. So turn over to John 17, and if you were here last week, you'll think you're reading the same thing you read last week. Well, not quite. Okay, we're going to move on a couple of verses at least. But look at John 17:17. And we could do this for another 3 or 4 months and never get to the bottom of it, to be honest with you. But verse 17 says, 17, John, okay. Sanctify them, Jesus is praying to the Father, sanctify them, disciples, the 11, then us who are disciples today, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. If we made one of our frequent pretend trips over to Walmart to run one of our surveys that we do in pretend fashion also, and we were out there in the parking lot and as people were coming and going, and we'd stop them and we would say, what is the life of a disciple all about? We'd pose that question to them. I would imagine that even in Bolivar, Missouri, we'd get a lot of blank stares. What are you talking about? We probably would have to downsize it then to what's going to church all about? We might get some takers on that one. I don't know. I thought I might share with you some of the reasons that I've been told in the years to that question. Why do you go to church? Not going to the disciple, we'll get there, but I thought we'd start out down on the lower shelf. And I've heard people tell me, well, it makes me feel better. It makes me feel better. I've also heard people say, well, if I go to church, it's going to give me a good place to go when I die. Okay. It's going to help me to be morally better. I'm going to do better, okay? I'm going to live better. It's going to solve my problems because it gives me access to professional clergy so that when I have a problem, I can go to them, and this guy was very unabashed, and I get some free counseling. Okay, that was one. I go to church because to give me a context to do good things as a means so that I can earn that place that's good to go when I die. In other words, I'm going to go to church, and that helps me build up a good deal list, and then when I die, I'll get into heaven. I've heard other people say, well, I go to church because they have good facilities there, and, you know, we've got kids who are going to be getting married, and we want them to get married in good facilities. And one guy was honest enough to say, I've always wanted to have a church funeral, and so I go to church kind of reserving my spot there for a church funeral. I'm not messing with you folks, okay? And then some have just been very unabashed as well and said, I go there to make the right social contacts and the right business contacts, wherever that is, okay? And that's not necessarily in this community. Well, that got my thinking going, and so I decided surely somebody sometime has officially done a survey, asked that question, something that we could describe our whole culture from. And sure enough, our buddy George Barna did that back in 2007. Okay, so it's a little bit dated. I would guess it's probably the numbers would be less now, but I don't know that, okay? But here's what he found out. In a scientific nationwide study, he found that 35% of the people go to church weekly. Every week, they're in church. 35% of the people that were surveyed go to church every week. 10% answered almost every week, and 10% answered once a month. Only 55% then, if you do the math, only 55% of the people in our country go to church at least once a month. 45% don't. Then he followed this up with, why do people go to church? Same thing I just did on an anecdotal basis on my part. Why do people go to church? 23% answered for spiritual growth. 20% answered to keep me grounded, whatever that is. 15% answered, it's my faith. Andy, sadly, 15%, only 15% said, I go to church to worship. 12% said, I go to church because I believe in God. And 12% answered, I go to church because I was brought up that way. So, back to where we started. Is being a disciple and going to church synonymous? Is it the same thing? We're going to, hopefully when you leave this morning, you're going to be able to respond to that, no, it's not the same. Being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, has little or nothing to do with going to church. Now, before you get the pulpit committee in here, okay? All right? We do know the Scripture tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So disciples will want to gather with other disciples on the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, because we need to. We need to. I don't know about you, but if we're not here on a Sunday, and it's either because one of us has been in the hospital or we're visiting kids once or twice a year, there's a hole. And I, you know, as we're driving back or whatever, I'm thinking it's 10 to 11 and the folks at Wellspring are just, you know, I'm kind of there with you. There's a hole. So being a disciple and going to church are not the same thing, but disciples want to gather together, to edify, to build up, to encourage one another, to worship together. But we're going to look this morning at this thing of being a disciple. I might add in passing, I think it's heritage is important, and I'm asked this from time to time, not as much as used to be, that how did this church come to be? Wellspring Baptist Fellowship was founded on a principle. I still remember sitting around a kitchen table back prior to Easter Sunday 1989. That was the first service that we had. And we asked that question, okay? That question was in front of us. What is a church? What is a church? What's a church supposed to do and be? And then we asked the question, well, whose church is it? Those were two. There was another couple, and Joanna and I, and we were sitting around the table, and we were contemplating this whole thing of starting a church. And those two questions came up. What we decided around that kitchen table that night was that a church, should be about that which the founder of the church did. Do you follow me on that? Well, you kind of answer both those questions. A church should be about what the founder of the church did. Not what would Jesus do, but what did Jesus do? What would Jesus do, but what did Jesus did? That was not easy, okay? Yeah, okay? So we focused. What did Jesus do when he was here? He worshiped. We know that. He prayed. If it's his church, we should be doing what he did, and he did those two things. He ministered to people at the point of their need, not at the point of his need to minister. Digest that one. He advanced the kingdom. The rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the lives of people, when he was here, he did that. So his church, i.e. specifically Wellspring, should be about that. Worshiping, praying, ministering to other people at the point of their need, advancing the kingdom. He taught the Father's word. He glorified the Father. And folks, that will keep you busy. Beyond that, I don't know if the church needs to be doing it, whatever it is. But let's get back to where we're supposed to be. Set aside and sent into the world. And so this morning, again, we're listening to Jesus pray. He's talking to his Father. They're talking about us. And again, I think that's not only thrilling but reassuring, that God the Father and God the Son would be talking about us, because Jesus is talking to his Father. And they're talking about us disciples. There we come into the difference between a person who goes to church and a disciple, and there is a world's difference in the two. And Jesus is asking the Father to prepare the disciples for a life of following him after he leaves. He's leaving in a matter of hours. And his heart cry to the Father is for the disciples that he's leaving behind. And these followers, and that's what a disciple is, a follower of Jesus. If any man will come after me, follow me, be a disciple, then as you know, they must deny self, die to self, take up the cross daily and follow me. All right, 3 points for those of you who are 3-point starved. Okay, we haven't had 3 points in some weeks, okay? We have 3 points this morning. We're going to look at the preparation for disciples, the place where disciples are to go, and the purpose that they're going. So let's look at, first of all, preparation. Jesus didn't have to process what's the church supposed to be like we did that night around that kitchen table. He already knew. He knew what the work of the kingdom was all about, and he knew what his disciples were being prepared to do and be. And so in asking the Father to prepare the disciples after his leaving, in verse 17, you read it with me, we read it last week, he said to the Father, Father, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. That was the preparation that Jesus was asking for the disciples then and the disciples now. Those of us sitting in chairs or standing up here or back there behind the sound booth deal. Sanctify them. Now, this word that we find here is actually a verb. It's an action verb. Sanctify, consecrate them, set them apart. And you said, well, last week you said it meant being holy. Hang on, okay? Sanctify them, consecrate them, set them apart. John 10:36 talks about the sanctification, the setting apart of Jesus. The sanctification of the Son by the Father to the work of bringing about human redemption. That's why Jesus was sent into this world, to die on a cross so that people could come to a place of having their sins forgiven, becoming disciples because they followed Jesus. That's why he came. He was set apart for that. Same word is used in John 10:36 as we're using here. And so what he's asking the Father is separate them, these 11 and all of us, separate them from the evil world for holy purposes. If you are sanctified, set apart unto the Lord, you're holy. Now, in the Old Testament, sanctification was a ritual process that was affected by a ceremonial observance. In other words, there was a ceremony, a time, an observance where the person, whatever, was set apart. The firstborn was set apart. That was part of the Jewish religion. In the New Testament, sanctification is a spiritual process regarding heart and conscience and will, and is the work of the Holy Spirit. They are different, but they are the same thing. The idea of being set apart holy unto the Lord. Because if you're set apart, you're going to have to be holy, or He will not have anything to do with us. So there's kind of a meaning in the shadow here, if you want to think about it like that. So Jesus is asking the Father to sanctify them, to make them holy, not just to be holy. We get mixed up on that one as well. We are not made holy just to be holy. If that's the case, as soon as you get to be holy, pop, you're out of here. He's not going to leave you around because He's got you the way He wants you. Get Him out of there before, you know. So it's not just to be holy, but we have too many folks walking around today who are satisfied with just being holy. I don't smoke, and I don't chew, and I don't go with the girls that do. I'm holy. That ain't holy. Okay? So we weren't sanctified just to be holy, but to be holy and set aside and sent. That's what He said. Set them aside, holy unto the Lord. In truth, your word is true. So the preparation for this mission that Jesus is going to talk about is to be accomplished in the truth. And we know that truth is what God says, your word is truth, and also what He sees. Holiness is necessary before we can be sent. You can't go into the world if you're not sanctified, made holy, because the world will eat you lunch. You have no shield. You have no protection, because you're just like them, them being the world. So holiness is necessary before sending, and sanctified, set apart. And they're set apart and made holy to be sent somewhere. Let's look now at, if that's the preparation, at the place. So if one is prepared, made holy, set apart, there's a place for them to be, those who are sanctified and made holy. You with me? At this point, it gets really difficult, okay, because there's three places you can be sent. Heaven, hell, or here. That's it. Now, the first two, heaven and hell, can be eliminated, at least for the present. So the only place remaining to be sent for those who are sanctified, made holy, and set apart is here. And here is the same as here then, the world. Now, are you a little bit confused now? I got a little bit confused at this point. Because we know the Scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Marvel not if the world hates you, because it hated me first. You can't be part of the world. And now He's going to say, sanctify them, set them apart to go into the world. Lord, what's going on here? Well, that's where we're going here. So here's the world, that world system would be a better way to talk about it. Satan's realm, the prince of the power of the air. Satan is there. His demonic forces are active there. And the fallen nature of all people who are yet to believe are there. That's the world system. That's where disciples who are set aside are sent into the world. being made holy, set aside, and sent into the very place that Jesus said, hate you. Now, there's some problem here, and it's running through your mind, some of you right now, and I know that. We're going to answer that question in your mind right now. I thought you said last week we weren't. Hang on. Hence, only holy individuals will be set aside and sent into the world. That's why I think one of the first things we need to ask, Jeff, before we, people come and we get to help so many people with mission opportunities, are you holy? I bet you asked that in some way. If you're going to go into the world and do whatever under the guise, the banner of Jesus Christ, are you holy? Because that's the only people Jesus is sending. And I don't think we want to contribute to the sending of somebody if they're not holy, sanctified, set apart. You get it? There are a lot of people that do go into the world under the guise, the banner of Jesus Christ, and they're not. Going for good reasons, I guess. But they are not what Jesus is talking about here. Only disciples of Jesus Christ will be sent by Jesus Christ into the world. And others may go for various reasons. And I couldn't help but think at this point, we are never more like Jesus than when we go into the world, because that's what he said. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. If you want to be like Jesus, just get on the bus that's going into the world. We're never more like Jesus than when we are going into the world. There is no place in Scripture that says that we're supposed to build a monastery somewhere and just gather in there and hum together. All right? He was sent into the world, holy. He's God the Son. We are sent into the world, holy, in Christ Jesus, sanctified and set apart. Now, folks, when you are sent into the world, when we are sent into the world, we're going to clash with the world. Some of you fish fryers. Maybe even, I guess they fry turkey, don't they, Chuck, now? Okay? You take that cold fish or whatever, room temperature or less, and you drop it into that vat of grease. You know what happens. They clash, the cold with the hot. When we go into the world, folks, we're going to clash with the world. Jesus knew that. That's why he prepared us for that. That's going to happen. We don't go into the world because we're fearful of that clash. We need to be banging around on a lot of people's lives. If we're not, and we're going into the world, we're not doing what he's talking about here. As you sent me into the world, he said, so have I sent them into the world. He came into the world to save us. He came into the world so that we would be sanctified, set apart, made holy. For us then to go into the world because he's leaving. Well, that's the preparation and the place. Let's look at the purpose. Now hang on here, okay? We are not sent into the world to be like the world. He's already said that. And it will be amplified in other places in Scripture. Come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. You go over to 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is, and find out what the world is. Let's do that, okay? We got time. You don't have to be first at El Rodeo this morning, all right? 1 John 2:15. We are called into the world. Now, don't forget that. And now, John, same writers we're just looking at in the Gospel of John, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we love the world, we have not been sent into the world, because the love of the Father is not in us, and if the love of the Father is not in us, we've not been sanctified. We're lost in our sin. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. We are not sent into the world to be like the world and to do what the world is doing. But we are sent into the world, if we went all the way back to the beginning of Matthew, to be salt and light into the world. That stark contrast in the world. The mission of those sent is not to participate and replicate what the world is doing, but to illuminate and elevate the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel in the context of the world. The purpose of being sent is not to participate with the world, with their activities, with their beliefs, with their practices. John amplified that. Come out from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, the scripture says. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Whatever even appears to be evil, the word from God is abstain from that. Evil is the antithesis of holiness. If we are sanctified and set apart, we are holy unto the Lord. And we cannot participate in that which He considers to be evil if we are holy. It won't work. Doing evil would not be holy. And He gets to define evil. All right? You don't get to vote on that in November. He's already decided. How do you know? It's in the book. He's not confused. Not hard, is it? Doing evil would not be holy. Because you see, when those who are holy go into the world and do evil, those who are evil get confused. Oh, you've heard it. I've heard it. I thought you were a Christian. You can do so-and-so and you're a Christian? Yeah, bunch of hypocrites. That's what I think. You'll hear. Right? Huh? Yeah, you think you're better than me, don't you? No, but I'm holier than you are, I'll tell you that. Might try that one sometime. Thus, going into the world as a follower of Jesus Christ is to be light. Live like Jesus did when He came into this world. He stood out in the world into which He came. Stood out to the point that people, the more they were around Him, the more they hated Him. Even to the point that the most religious people in that culture committed murder by sending Him to the cross. That's what happened to your Lord and Savior. And if we live like Him in a dark world, why would the world treat us any differently than they treated Him? The world hasn't changed. I don't know that it's worse off than it used to be. It's always been bad. It's always been wicked. It's always been evil. You know, there's people say, that's worse than it's ever been. I don't know. Y'all do a little history, okay? There's some pretty raunchy stuff went on in the past. I mean, the first guy that went into the world, or was born into the world, killed his brother. And it's been just kind of that all the way since. So if Jesus, when He went into the world and was light, and stood out and was murdered, crucified, hung on a cross because only of who He was. and how he lived and what he said. That's the only reason Jesus Christ went to the cross, from the perspective of the people. Now, it was God's plan, we know that. But why were those people so angry and upset? The religious people. Why were they so upset? Because he was light. He shone onto their lives, which became obvious to others. These people don't have the answer. And they had a pretty good game going. He lived without sin. So to be light is so that when you walk into the world, everybody knows who you are. Just because of how you clash with them. If we turned all the lights off in here right now, surely somebody's got a flashlight in their pocket or purse or something like that. It got real dark, okay? I come in here on Sunday morning, it's real dark, okay? You can't see anything because it's dark outside, it's dark in here. And you turn that little bitty light on, it'll light this whole place up. That's what it's being talked about here. When we go into the world, we light up the place. Now, when we light up the place, we're holding the light. Guess who gets the attention? Yeah. He knew that. He knew that. Here's a startling thought. Not necessarily planned. Chuck always gets nervous when that happens, okay? Do people ever have to ask you if you're a Christian? Think about it. Do people ever have to ask if you're a Christian? Just ask. I'm asking myself the same thing. To be light and to be salt sent into the world. Salt, we know, purifies, gives food taste, gives it meaning, preserves. Salt, as the believer, when we are salt in the world, we're going to do those things. We're going to purify everything we're around. You know, you ladies may not do this. Guys walk up, and guys are kind of like a pack of dogs usually, okay? They just walk around, you know, kind of, okay? And usually, you know, they'll, there you go, buddy. All right. And then usually what will happen is somebody says, hey, did you hear the one about? Or they'll let out with a bunch of expletives or something like that, trying to say, I'm a big deal, you know, all right? If you're light and salt, they'll say, well, if Wheeler wasn't here, I'd tell you a good one. Yeah, that's what's supposed to happen. Or if they go ahead, say, wait a minute. Won't you tell that when I'm not around? You say, oh, you wouldn't want to do that. That would be socially awkward. Don't we get it? You're always going to be socially awkward if you're light in a dark place and salt in a meaningless place. Be salt and light. Jesus was sent into the world to live a sinless life and give that sinless life as a ransom for your sins and mine. If that's what he did for us, and that's his plan for us now, sent into the world, folks, we're sent in as holy, set aside for him, for his purpose. And his purpose is to take his gospel to those who are yet to believe. First question this morning, we're closing. Are you sanctified? Have you been made holy? If you have been made holy, you have been sent. Second question, are you going? Let's pray. Lord, we understand. that because of your death on the cross for us, our sins are forgiven. In your eyes, we are holy. And we are made holy, set apart, sanctified, to be sent into the world. Just like you sent your only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins. Father, I pray that as disciples, as followers of Jesus, we would understand there's no options. We'd understand that we don't get to make up the rules. That we don't get to elect our path in life, or however we want to say it. You've already decided that. Sanctified. Set apart, sent into the world. Thank you. In Jesus' name.